Now, there's a major disagreement rumbling between developers of Phibsborough Shopping Centre and Tesco that could see the project being shelved indefinitely if it's not resolved quite soon. And I'm now joined by Green Party candidate for the next local election. She's Nessa Horrigan for the Cabra-Glasnevin area to tell us more about it. And she's also going to be talking about affordable housing, safe communities, waste services and her local election campaign. Good afternoon, Nessa, and thank you very much for taking the time to be with us today.
Hi there, thanks for having me.
No, you're most welcome. First of all, Nessa, tell us about the controversy surrounding Phibsborough Shopping Centre development. What exactly is behind the argument between Tesco and MM Capital? They are the developers, I think.
Yes, MM Capital are the developers, and it's due to be a 50 million redevelopment of the site. People might remember that Dublin City Council bought the Daily Mount site from Bohemians in 2015. So actually the site has, this issue has been rumbling on for nearly 4 years now. And the proposal was that we would build a 6,000-seater stadium. I think it's a UEFA Level 3 stadium, so a pretty nice facility. That they would also provide a library, they provide a community space, and they would provide some meeting rooms. And the big win for, I suppose, your average person in Phibsborough, as well as a really beautiful library, would be that within that project, there was a suggestion there'd be a civic place, a public realm, a kind of a new heart for Phibsborough. And everybody was on board with that. That was moving forward. It seems to be now that it has fallen down because of a disagreement between Tesco and MM Capital. Tesco have claimed that their demands haven't changed in any way. However, the developer is saying that they have, and the issue is around deliveries, that Tesco feel that they wouldn't have proper access for deliveries onto the site with the current plan. And then the developer's position is what they're asking for would mean a huge amount of delay and a much more cost to the development, and therefore the development might not be viable. So you can imagine for people in Phibsborough who are watching that site kind of becoming more and more dilapidated, particularly the Tesco building, which you know, has asbestos in it, it's becoming more and more run down. It's an area of real concern that it wouldn't go ahead.
Yes, oh right. Okay, so in your opinion though, is there a solution to any of this? Do you see any middle ground where both parties could come to an agreement? I mean, would it actually be feasible to have deliveries to the rear?
Well, I do think that Tesco, you know, should really consider I suppose, more lateral ways of delivering. I mean, you're seeing it across the city that we're looking at lower scale delivery services. I noticed DPD have just launched a service where they have small electrical vehicles delivering more often, but with, you know, they're much smaller vehicles to the site. So I definitely think that there's some work to be done there about kind of rethinking what you're expecting from a delivery, because of course, you know, Phibsborough is almost like a little village. I'm not sure we want huge big trucks coming in and out of the area, particularly if that site is now going to be like a public hub, like a major area of public realm. So I think that there's a job there to be done around kind of reimagining what the delivery service could be to the shop. I'm hoping that that both the club and the developer and the council and Tesco's can stay at the table and continue to talk, because what we don't want to happen is that the whole thing fall down and that it doesn't get redeveloped. I think there is a kind of a knock-on discussion here with Bus Connects, because the proposal for Bus Connects is that there's two major routes coming through Phibsborough. And as everybody who's gone to those meetings or looked at it online knows, that the route for Bus Connects is a 50-kilometre-an-hour route. Now, that's for a little village, which is the kind of urban village that Phibsborough is going to be quite hard on people on the street and on people who are cycling or, you know, on the footpath. And therefore, you know, that sense of having a kind of a civic space would be even more important. So if Bus Connects is going to go ahead, the idea that this would be then stalled and we would lose out on that some bit of kind of rest place, some sense of kind of civic area in the heart of Phibsborough would be very serious.
So all of this is holding up the redevelopment project for, you know, Bohemians FC at Dalymount Park, which is adjoining the premises, as you mentioned earlier. But if this delay or the whole project gets shelved in relation to the shopping centre, I think the Daily Mount development will still go ahead. They just need to change some designs. Would that be right?
It is. So as I understand it, the stadium can still go ahead, and Shelburne are going to be using their facilities too. And in the meantime, while it's being developed, Bohemians are going to be using the Talca Park facilities for, I think it's 2021 and 2022, while, you know, all the construction is happening. However, and I don't want to speak for Bohemians, but they've been very good at highlighting the fact that this development should go ahead as a complete development. You know, the stadium is fantastic and it will go ahead, but it would be a great pity if we lost all of that kind of civic function and, you know, the redevelopment of a library and community space. I mean, I can tell you, as somebody who often, you know, the tidy towns want to have their meetings and Fizz Fest is going, and it's their incredible group. And if those spaces were there, if meeting rooms and if public spaces and amenities were there, there are so many groups, so many fantastic people doing things in Fizzborough to make the best use of them and to get great go off them.
Right, so, okay. So just to change the subject slightly on a different note, tell us, Nessa, about your campaign for the next local election, and what kind of a response are you getting from the locals?
I suppose I'm going to say what everyone says is I'm getting really good response. I think, unlike maybe social media, or, you know, sometimes on Twitter it can feel like everyone's against you, but on the doors, people are so decent and so kind, and so I'm getting good response. Whether that turns into votes is another thing altogether. I'm hoping it does. But I suppose the things I'm talking about are housing homelessness. I'm a specialist in sustainable communities by background, and I worked in that area for 20 years, and so I would be the Green Party rep on the Housing and Homelessness Coalition, for example. So I would do a lot of work in that area, and very passionate about kind of our housing crisis and escalating rents and things like that. So particularly, I mean, I'm based in Cabra. That's a huge issue for us here. There's a lot of people who would be renters in the area. But, you know, renters who live close to their siblings and their parents and who've lived here all their lives and are really kind of based in their community, and it would be a big issue if they had to move out. So that's a big issue, and I find that people are very interested in the housing issue on the doors. I think it touches everybody at the moment. You know, you don't have to be somebody who's actually being pushed out into homelessness right now to realise that, you know, the levels of rent and the difficulty with buying a house and the difficulty with getting a mortgage is having such a big impact on everyone. And then the other big thing I work on is streets. And of course, that's kind of connected to my background too, is, you know, I'm very interested in the public realm, and that's why I know all about Tesco's. My background is that I'm a carer the last couple of years to my little girl who has a disability, and she uses a cane. And so I feel very much that, you know, the council could make more of a priority for pedestrians and for walkers and for people who want to, you know, get around the city on foot, or, you know, with a walker or with a wheelchair. And it's just not the top of their list at the moment. So it's easier to get a road fixed than it is to get a footpath. And so between, you know, broken footpaths, dog fouling, bins pulled into the footpath, Dublin can be a bit hostile for vulnerable pedestrians, for elderly people, you know, but for anyone who's just trying to make their way through the city. And I really feel that we could be doing so much better there. And then I suppose finally, the big one, for and it's a surprise to me that people are talking to me on the door about it, because I've canvassed other elections and it hasn't been such an issue, but climate change and recycling and you know, just cutting down on our waste and rethinking how we're living, that's a huge issue. So that spans everything from, you know, what energy you're using in your house right up to public transport. So that's a broad one, but it is coming up more so than I've ever heard it before.
Yes, okay. Just to go back to the housing crisis, tell us about your views on tackling the issue.
Yeah, so, I mean, we would say that there's a kind of a number of ways to tackle housing and homelessness. And I suppose we'd speak to housing first, because homelessness is almost a complex issue in and of itself. But in terms of housing, I certainly feel that the current way of dealing with the provision of housing is failing. It's not just, and we've heard from the government, oh, just give us more time and it's beginning to work. But, you know, we've heard that now for 7, 8, 9 years, and there's the homelessness numbers are rising. We've gone over 10,000 and it's gone up again this month. So we would feel very strongly that it's time to build social housing. It's time for that social housing to be mostly provided by your local authority. I mean, that's what we used to do. We know how to do it. That's what we did in the 30s and 40s and 50s. Your local authority knew where they needed housing, and they would make the plans and they would build it. And we kind of need to return to some of that thinking. When we discuss it kind of at a national level, often that approach tends to be met with an idea that it's very naive. But of course, that we've done that in this country for decades, and we kind of abandoned it in the 80s and 90s. And I suppose one of the things that we would say is we should go back to some of that thinking and rebuild some of that knowledge in our local authorities and then fund it properly. So I suppose building social housing would be a major one. We in the Green Party are big people for cost rental. We believe that, you know, cost rental, where the state would build housing and then they would charge you rent based on how much it costs to make that housing and to maintain it. That's the system that you see all over the continent. And it means that people have genuine access to affordable units and affordable homes. And it also means that you know, there's a bit of kind of leeway in the budgeting there that you can actually put in provision for good community services. So if you see it, for example, there was a great exhibition in CHQ a few weeks ago on the Vienna model, which is about making communities. You know, you don't just throw up 20 units of housing. You build a school, or you don't build 3,000 apartments. You build the apartments plus a community centre, plus maybe a swimming pool, plus a day centre for elderly people to go to. That it's a kind of an idea that you don't just throw things up willy-nilly, you actually think it out. And I definitely can see that in this constituency. I do a little bit of work with them, the Educate Together stuff around the area, and certainly people like the groups in Pelletstown, for example, who have been living there 12 or 13 or 14 years now, 15 maybe, without a school, you know, and there's thousands of people out there and no school. It just, we need a bit of joined up thinking. So I think that would be the first thing that we would do. And then I think there is an issue around kind of rent and the escalating rent. We would like to see the rent pressure zones applied throughout the country. I think that's something that should be done yesterday. And we would also like to see a moratorium or an end to eviction based on your need to sell. So we would like to tighten up that at least for a number of years until the housing crisis has abated somewhat, because we are seeing just thousands of children being pushed into B&Bs everywhere, and that really has to end. And then I suppose finally, one of the big things we would like to do is set up land trusts. This is slightly nerdier, a nerdier option, but a land trust, community land trust, where the community, I suppose we would remove some of the speculation and some of the profit-driven decision-making within development for housing, and you would have community land trusts where the decisions around what gets built and when would be more based on what's good for the community rather than what's going to make a profit. So therefore, you would probably get, for example, more things like sports facilities, which I think I was down in Athena last night and talking about their, you know, need for pitches, and they've 99 games a week happening, and it feels like, yeah, we need more sports. We're all meant to be more healthy nowadays, so we need more provision for that, and community land trusts would be a way of doing it.
Right, okay. Another key issue, part of your campaign, is having communities free from gangland crime and also antisocial behaviour. What would be your recommendations to improve that?
Well, I think that first and foremost, we have a good model in the community policing and the community police forums. And I think that we should be, you know, supporting the guards as much as possible to put real kind of heft behind that and fund it properly and have enough people on the beat. I mean, at a very basic level, we need more guards. Certainly in Cabra and on the border between Cabra and Finglas, there's a major issue with scramblers at the moment. And that's one of the big things around kind of antisocial behaviour that I hear on the doors. And we need national legislation on that. That's both Sinn Féin and Fianna Fáil have tabled national legislation on that, and both have been fairly roundly ignored by the Transport Minister. But I think that one of the things that we need to do is provide more kind of joined up thinking between, you know, different Garda bodies so that they can come up with a more specific plan about how to deal with something like scramblers. Scramblers on the road and scramblers in public parks are very scary for people, and we know in the very recent past that somebody was very badly injured by them. And it makes people feel, particularly in Tolka Park, that they can't really go in there. It's not safe for their kids. So we need national legislation to make it easier to take scramblers away and destroy them, to make it harder for parents to, you know, give them to children with absolutely no insurance, no helmet, no nothing. And then we just need to fund the guards properly to make sure that they have the tools and they have the personnel on site. You know, you need the person on the street to actually deal with this. I know certainly Cabra Garda Station is underfunded and understaffed.
Tell us, if you don't mind me asking, in your opinion, why should locals vote for you ahead of any other candidate?
Well, look, everybody has to think about what's the most important thing to them, and what the person who, and their party is offering them. I'm chair of policy actually for the Greens, so a lot of the policy coming out of the Greens comes through me, and I think that my interest and my goal is very much about people's quality of life, and very much about the idea that, you know, we all are working hard and we're all trying our best, but unless you have time to enjoy it, unless you have, you know, a nice community in which to live, unless your kids feel safe and you know, they have the right services in school and you feel that they have a chance in life, you know, you're what are you working for, I suppose, is my question, unless we're providing all the services. So we would very much be about thinking about, you know, how to improve your daily life and how to make sure that future generations also have a decent chance at a good life. So I suppose it's about kind of a responsibility and about thinking about, you know, how can we make things better for ourselves and into the future. So if, you know, if issues around kind of childcare, climate change, waste reduction, decent food, good food is always big in our policies. Lots of green space in the city, access to parks. Those are the kind of things that I'm interested in, that the Green Party would be working on. If we could get a decent amount of Green Party reps onto councils, I think you would see a change. You would see a change in focus away from maybe, you know, getting that pothole fixed and more towards, you know, getting your kids back out into nature, getting your footpath up to standard, more public transport. Those are the kind of things that I think that we really want to focus on.
Okay, fair play to you. Right, so we leave it at that, Nessa, and thanks again for joining us today, and good luck with your local election campaign. All the very best to you. Take care and have a great weekend.
Thank you so much.
You're most welcome. Cheers. Now, that was Nessa Horrigan, Green Party candidate for the next local election, Cabra Glasnevin electorate area, talking about the controversy surrounding Phibsborough Shopping Centre development. Also, a number of other issues locally and her election campaign. And